Hey everybody, this is Sam and Mike, the producers of Ask an Atheist, and we're here to tell you about a competition that we have been nominated for.
Yeah, King 5, the local NBC affiliate, does this thing every year where they crown the best of Western Washington on a number of topics, and we've been nominated for one of the categories.
Best podcast of Western Washington. This is King 5's Evening Magazine, Best of Western Washington for a whole bunch of categories, and we've been nominated for Best Podcast. If you're hearing this, you are listening to the podcast, and if you think we're the best podcast in Western Washington, by all means, please vote for us.
Yeah, this is actually quite a big deal that if you go to any restaurant, any retail store around the area that's won one of these, they always hang up that plaque prominently, and it gets them a lot of new business, a lot of positive attention. And if we win this, it'll be no exception. This would be equivalent of getting 5 atheist billboards up there. The number of mainstream attention we get, we get better calls, more emails, more listeners.
We wish we had a URL we could send you directly to, but there isn't one. So if you go to askanatheist.tv, home of Ask an Atheist and where you're downloading this podcast from, there will be right at the top of the page a place where you can go to vote. Right now we're in first place, but we're at by a gnat's breadth, and we're up against some real good competition.
Yeah, these are people who've been on big time radio. These are people with a lot of fans and a lot of money, and we are kind of the Rocky Balboa here. Help us make it to the 15th round. Help us win this thing. Let's do this. Thank you. Please, 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 please vote.
I could throw in some more pleases, but yeah, if you could really help us out with that, that would be fantastic. It doesn't cost any money, and it doesn't take very much time. Go to askanatheist.tv, look for the link, and vote today.
On this station.
Ten years ago today, on September 11th, 2001, two passenger jets struck the Twin Towers of the New York Trade Center in New York City. Another struck the Pentagon in Washington, D.C. Another crashed in a field in Pennsylvania, and approximately 3,000 people were killed in the largest terrorist attack in the history of the United States. The most commonly held explanation for these attacks was that 19 Islamist hijackers affiliated with Al-Qaeda were responsible for the attacks of September the 11th, but a vocal minority of people believe that this account is inaccurate, many believing that the U.S. government may be culpable. This is the question that we will discuss today. This is Ask an Atheist. Our phone number is 253-584-1480. And joining us is the president of Seattle Skeptics and regular contributor to the show, Case. How you doing today?
Fine. How you doing there, Sam?
Hi. All right. Standing in for the guy, for the people who we were hoping to talk to today, is our friend Mike.
Hey.
Hey.
Not a truther.
Not standing in per se. I mean, you're filling in, but
filling
not,
in. Yeah.
I'm putting gravity on the same seat.
Yeah.
So, if you've been following the website at all, we were planning today to have a structured debate where I would have served the moderator between someone, a member of the 9/11 Truth Movement, and Case. And you'll notice that Mike is here instead, and we kind of have a known, how we feel about the 9/11 Truth Movement is pretty well known.
It's crap.
Yeah. We have manifestly failed to get somebody on, and it's really not our fault. But we'll get to that in a minute. First, we have some announcements. As you may know, we have been nominated for King 5's Best of Western Washington in the podcast category, and we are presently in first place.
However, this is something that's kind of a tenuous lead. The people that we're up against are people who do this sort of stuff professionally, people who do this stuff a lot longer than we have, and people who have, I guess you could say, a much bigger microphone than we do. So if they turn any attention to this campaign, this is something that they could win fairly easily. So what we are asking is for any of you, if you like our show, you like the sort of stuff we do, please go to our website. There's a little button at the top of the screen. And please vote for us. Let us know that, hey, you like our show and you like what we do.
Mike, when is the voting for that show close?
I believe we're about a month away. It's sometime in mid-October.
Okay.
And the thing that people, if you're in the local area, it sounds like it's a hyper-local couple contest, but really what it is something that helps us at almost every level. Anybody who wins this stuff gets featured on King 5, and they put these plaques in very prominent places. And their business, their restaurant, whatever. I mean, this is the sort of thing that I guess the equivalent would be about 5 different billboards we could put up for our show.
That's the thing, is if we win this, it makes advertising easier, it makes attendance at our events better, but just because we have that notoriety.
We get better calls, we get more emails, we get a better show.
Yeah, absolutely. The other thing I'd like to announce is that in the next few days, we'll be launching a web forum for Ask an Atheist on our website. You can just follow it there. We were hoping to roll it out today, but because we had such a horrible time trying to get somebody in the studio, I didn't really have time to work on it. So just keep your eye out. We're really looking to get some feedback for the show and get an idea of what people like and what people don't like. Right now, our only sort of channel for that feedback is through YouTube, and I'm not certain I want to take all of my feedback from the vast echo chamber that is vlogging.
I'm not a fan of the culture of YouTube. Yeah. I think that it's, I don't know, I think if you had a gradient that on one hand you had published scientific papers and on the other hand you had like 4chan in terms of the level of debate.
Yeah.
I'd say that YouTube is closer to the 4chan side of the spectrum.
Not that that's bad, but that's not really where I want to figure out what people like on the show.
Yeah, one of the to get an idea of how stupid some of the comments on YouTube can get, I once saw somebody who said, "Well, I called your number and nobody was there."
At 4 in the
morning. Yeah. We're not.
For the record, if you're on YouTube and you hear me say the 253-584-1480, and if you're watching that video and you want to call that number, we're not going to be there because it's not live on YouTube. Just for the record. But if you're listening to us now, either streaming on the internet or over the air, again, 253-584-1480. And before we really get into it, I wouldn't really call this Scripture Says What, more like People Believe Scripture Says What.
Yeah, it's really no surprise that people have a tendency to take these books and come up with some really dumb ideas.
Yeah, yeah. So
often after the fact.
Yeah, there's a contingent of folks who believe that 9/11 was prophesied.
Sounds better, yeah. But I know it's not a real word.
In scripture, the Zohar, mystical book of Kabbalah from the 13th century Spain, lauded and revered as the Oral Torah, and therefore sacred by ultra-Orthodox Jews, has this passage. This comes from the Sonsino Zohar in Bamidbar, section 3, page 212b. "We have learnt that God will one day build Jerusalem and display a certain fixed star flashing with 70 streamers and 70 flames in the midst of the firmament, and it will shine and flash for 70 days. It will appear on the 6th day of the week, on the 25th of the 6th month, and will disappear on the 7th day after 70 days. On the first day it will be seen in the city of Rome, and on that day 3 lofty walls of that city shall fall, and a mighty palace shall be overthrown, and the ruler of that city shall die. Then that star will become visible throughout the whole world. In that time, mighty wars will arise in all quarters of the world, and no faith shall be found among men." Yeah, this is oddly sort of Nostradamus for a supposedly intellectual religion. Joining us for this is Becky, sort of our resident expert on Jewish mysticism. How you doing, Becky?
Hi, I'm doing great. That sounded kind of like a Jon Stewart. And now, our foreign correspondent in the specialty of...
Oral Torah, that's what they're calling it now.
Torah, yeah. And Becky found one of my secret inspirations for being a host on the show. Big surprise, I like Jon Stewart. So how exactly does this say anything? Because the numbers, other than, you know, the number 70, which I think you said that once upon a time you told me that whenever they need big numbers, they tend to go for like 40 and 70.
40 and 70 are magical Bible numbers, for sure. It just means big or bigger or very big.
So how does this foretell 9/11?
The short answer is it doesn't. I think that these folks that, you know, sort of buy into the Bible codes and a lot of the different, I mean, you look at, you know, Revelation, you look at Daniel, and you look at Ezekiel, and you'll see lots of different things prophesied and foretold of all this terrible stuff that's going to happen.
So how does this foretell 9/11?
It doesn't, okay. But the way that
how do they make it do that?
Okay, all right. The way that they do it is they contend that that 6th day of the week on the 25th of the 6th month was actually mistranslated, but the Vilna translation has the actual correct date, which would be the 23rd.
So they're saying this is the Bible's fault here?
An interesting thing also is that the Zohar is revered by some folks, by some Jews, as apocrypha or pseudepigrapha, which is sort of like a big fancy way of saying the extra stuff.
Right. The director's commentary.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. It is, yeah. And so there's different translations of it, and really, in case you joked about oral Torah, but there's the written Torah, which is the 5 books and everything, and then there's the Oral Torah, which was supposedly revealed to Abraham and Moses, but then passed down and not actually recorded until the 13th century. So we have this 23rd of Elul, of the month of Elul, that 6th month, and that in 2001 actually corresponded to Tuesday, September 11th.
So they just happened to pick a they say it's mistranslated, and it was actually this other day.
Yeah, so if we had gone with the largely accepted translation, it would have been September 13th. But if we go with one of the obscure translations, it's September 11th on Tuesday in 2001, and they interpret that the flashy, streamery star thing with all the flames represented or foretold the explosions and the collapse. And
I'm thinking this might actually foretell Super Mario 3. Personally, with all the stars in the sky for 70 days and 70 levels, and you know,
is there a certain point where a raccoon suit will help you fly?
Exactly, and it's talking about the city of Rome, but it's really Bowser's kingdom and Bowser's fortress. I think this has more to do with Super Mario 3 than September 11th.
I think it's equally likely that the kingdom of Rome is Bowser's kingdom, and not referring to what they think that megalopolis of the Boston, New York, Philly, DC sort of thing.
Yeah.
They say that the three lofty walls of the city refer to the three buildings that fell, and the large palace refers to the Pentagon. It's all basically, I mean, picking stuff out of air. We could look at it at any certain, you know, any earthquake that happened in any major city around the world.
This is just like the Nostradamus quatrains.
Yeah,
the River of Hister is now Hitler, that's the Antichrist.
Exactly. Same stuff. And, you know, the thing is a lot of these people lived when Rome was really a city. So when they say Rome, they mean Rome.
They mean Rome.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me every time that somebody tries to talk about David Icke, the conspiracy theorist who believes that lizards are in control of the world and that that everything from the Bush family to the British royal family are all shape-shifting aliens.
Yeah.
And I believe the ADL, the Anti-Defamation League, got angry at him once, and he's like, no, he doesn't mean Jews. He really does mean lizards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That this isn't a metaphor. He really does mean Rome in this case.
And Becky said, you know, obscure translation, but really what this is that this is somebody saying that the translation is wrong, and they actually meant this other date, which had just happens to coincide with 9/11.
And of course they came up with this after the fact. There was nobody looking at this scripture beforehand who was saying, oh, I know that on such and such a date, you know, this is going to happen, and that there's going to be an attack of some kind of major disaster. It's easy to match this stuff up after the fact.
The other thing is, you know, I bet you they were talking about this passage beforehand, but they weren't talking about 9/11, is that, you know, they were trying to marry it to some other event, like, say, Pearl Harbor or something like that. And then 9/11 happened, and everybody just sort of switched focus. And now they're trying to make this thing tie into some other, you know, now it's trying to tie into 9/11 instead of Pearl Harbor or the original, you know, the 1993 bombing or something like that.
I'm going to make a prophecy right now.
Okay.
That this same passage is going to be used in the future for a future attack or disaster.
Right, right. The other aspect of this is that this is people who are trying to make America appear in the Bible or in biblical texts or in, you know, the Zohar and stuff like that. Because, you know, there was no America. In fact, these people didn't even know about the landmass. So, they're just trying to find places where we can talk about America. I know America's a big place, and it's powerful, so why not...
It's funny, because so many of these people also have this tendency to equate their piety with their patriotism.
Right.
And it's hard to make a big deal out of American exceptionalism if the exception in the Bible is that America's not mentioned.
So, like I said, this is not the usual scripture says what, but if you found a piece of scripture that you find interesting, and you'd like to share it with us, you can go to askanatheist.tv, click on the red button, and let us know what you found. As we usually say, non-biblical passages will get...
They get a fast track.
They get a fast track, because we want to, you know, we hear crazy stuff in the Bible all the time. We're actually looking for crazy stuff in other books.
The Quran, the Book of Mormon, the Bhagavad Gita, the divine principle of the Unification Church.
Yeah.
You name it, you know, we'll look at it.
Yeah, and the Zohar in this case. So that's another one we've got on our list of passages. So, you know, we're coming up into the break, but... like I said, this show was going to be about a structured debate. I have some debate management training, and I was going to just take it real easy and not be my usual self and just devote time between Case and some of the more vocal folks in the 9/11 truth movement. And everyone we talked to, and we said we wanted to give them a chance to be on the show, a chance to speak in an uninterrupted way, to really make their case. Because, you know what, if there is evidence for some conspiracy behind the 9/11 thing, we should know about it. We should absolutely know about it. So we wanted to give them a chance to make their case in a place where we could have it tested and we can discuss it and figure out if it makes sense or if it doesn't make sense. We couldn't find anyone.
Yeah, I think that this goes against sort of the wishful thinking thing that we denounce all the time, which is that reality is what it is, regardless of how it's flattering to you or how much you want it or want it to not be true. And with this, either the 9/11 attacks was an inside job or it wasn't. And if it is, I'd like to know about it because I'd have to change my views because every piece of argument that I've ever heard so far has been bad. But I can't discount the fact that maybe there's a piece of evidence I haven't looked at yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to make assumptions until I get that evidence. And this attempt for us to try to find a truther who's willing to come in and sort of basically, let's see what happens when the rubber meets the road. This is not the first time we've had this silence. I mean, Case, you've tried to get truthers to debate you for years now.
Yeah, well, about a year ago when we first did our show on 9/11, I remember when I was invited to participate in Moral Politics. He was going to have me on the show to do 9/11 then. And once he actually saw that episode, he had no interest whatsoever in actually having me unfettered on the show.
Absolutely.
Without any interruption. So he said, we need to have somebody counter you, which was kind of an odd way of changing it around. But okay, that's fine. But he had challenges. He couldn't get anyone who would debate me. Not a single person.
And here's the thing, is I know what 9/11 truthers are going to say in the comments of this episode. I can already hear it because you're that predictable. You didn't try hard enough. You didn't find anybody. If you looked around, I would have debated you. The fact of the matter is, we have tried harder to get a guest on this episode than we have ever tried before. I mean, we've talked to 7-8 people. We went to meetings of 9/11 truthers.
As far back as Richard Curtis back in June, PhD, who said he could do it.
We've been trying hard for this episode, and you guys failed, and that's on you. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
If you enjoy the programming we create here on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship helps keep our show on the air and improve the quality of our broadcasts. Donors get access to exclusive Ask an Atheist content. Don't make us beg. Please go to askanatheist.tv and contribute today.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communication succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
Secular humanism is a non-theistic view of the universe built on a foundation of reason, science, and democracy. Humanists support intellectual freedom and critical thinking, and we hold that human beings are autonomous centers of moral development. The Humanists of Washington is the oldest humanist organization in the state and offers a community of freethinkers who educate the public and celebrate life. For information on how you can be a part of the humanist activities in the Puget Sound area, become a member of the Humanists of Washington today. Visit humanistsofwashington.org.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we are talking about the failure of the 9/11 truth movement. Like I said going into the break, we have been interested in having this conversation for a while, and we've been trying hard to make it happen. Who are some of the people you spoke with?
All right, so for me, I misspoke earlier. Richard Curtis and I were supposed to actually have a town hall debate for 9/11 truth on September 11th today.
Right.
And we exchanged some emails back and forth, and eventually he said, you don't understand logic, therefore I'm not going to debate you.
I remember that.
Here's a guy who teaches philosophy at some of the local colleges and universities, and you know what? I'm just an organizer of a skeptics group. I mean, if you've got the chops, you can beat me. But he said, you don't understand logic. And it was actually a very fine, it was a very interesting debate.
Wouldn't that help his side if you didn't understand logic? Wouldn't having that debate and utterly trouncing you be good? And one of the things is we actually had somebody we thought we were going to debate. Goes by the name of Susan. She's not one of these outspoken 9/11 truther types. She's not out there having town halls, having meetings. She's just a concerned citizen who has some ideas that, as misguided as they might be, you know, she just tried to help us, and this is not who we're talking about.
Yeah, we're talking about sort of professional loudmouths, people who should we name some names? Should we talk about, you know, like Richard Curtis, who you mentioned before?
Yeah, yeah. Architects and engineers for 9/11 Truth, the local meetup group, and the national.
Went to We Are Change Seattle.
I approached We Are Change Seattle.
Yeah.
Let's see, who else did I reach out to? No, not Bill Alford. I'm trying to think who else.
But you did try to debate Bill Alford at one point, or at least go on his show.
Yes.
Bill Alford is, of course, the host of Moral Politics on the SCAN Public Access Network we used to be on.
Definitely. Yeah. And he's allowed unfettered 9/11 truth shows. He has at least four of them. So he was supposed to allow some sort of counterpoint with me, and he changed his mind.
But here's the thing: is that the We Are Change Seattle group they have on their website, politician is questioned about something about 9/11 and runs away when cornered. And this is what they're doing to us. How are they any different?
That's actually Richard Curtis's website where he says they won't debate me; they run away when presented with the facts.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, so we wanted to have you on the show. We wanted to talk about the facts. You ran away from us. How do I take that?
And this isn't the first time I've seen something like this, too, is that 9/11 truthers are sort of notorious for showing up at, like, say, if Michael Shermer or another skeptic of this conspiracy theory has, as a public event where they're speaking, they'll show up at the Q&A line and just start spitting out conspiracy theory stuff at them. Oh, we're speaking truth to power, but your experience at 9/11 truth events with the sort of questioning they allow of their speakers is very different, isn't it, Case?
That's right, yeah. Whenever I went to a 9/11 truth event, they vetted questions or they shout you down, that sort of thing. So, you know, opposing opinions are not welcome at 9/11 truth events. They're not welcome.
So how am I supposed to believe that these things are peer-reviewed? How am I supposed to believe that this is testable evidence? You're just making weird claims. I could say that 9/11 was caused by Klingons. I will find purchase at these events.
That's the thing.
Where's the skepticism?
Well, there really isn't any. And when they talk about peer review, because the 9/11 truthers do have their own, I will put this in scare quotes if you don't catch it from my tone, scientific peer-reviewed paper,
yes. Yeah.
Where their peers, of course, is basically defined as other 9/11 truthers.
Yeah, this is the same claim of evidence that Christians make for creation scientists make. Not all Christians are creation
scientists.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that. Stephen Jones had this paper, active thermitic material found in 9/11 World Trade Center dust.
Right.
So this was published in Bentham Open Journal. Bentham Open Journal, I don't know if you're familiar with the concept of vanity publishing.
Yeah.
Vanity publishing is that whole concept of you're going to pay me to publish this. You're going to pay me to publish this,
yeah.
As opposed to I'm actively seeking out material and I'm going to pay you for the privilege of publishing it. It's that same thing. So that's what Bentham Open Journal is. It's this idea where you pay, and other people who've paid will review your work for you, and therefore it's peer-reviewed, quote-unquote, but it's vanity publishing.
This is hardcore academic publishing on the level of Patriot Bible University, home of Kent Hovind.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, and the creationists also have their own fake peer-reviewed journals with other creationists.
Right.
And we said we've been talking to people since June of this year, but the story actually goes much farther back than that, is that a call for a 9/11 truther in the Seattle area is something we've been doing since the SCAN days, because there was Moral Politics on SCAN. There was the conspiracy coterie where, you know, everybody believed that 9/11 was caused for some other reason other than the official narrative, but because they all disagreed with the official narrative, they managed to be a group.
Yeah.
And we said, you know, come on the show, call us, let us know what you feel, you know, let's talk about this. And they manifestly stayed away from us. And at some point, you were talking about this in the break. Somebody asked who was paying you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I find so funny about this is they like to posture in this way, like, we have this truth and nobody is willing to be challenged by this truth. Yet every single time somebody goes, fine, throw the gauntlet down. This is kind of like somebody going up going, nobody can beat me up. Nobody can beat me up. I'm the toughest guy around. No one. Everyone backs down for my challenge. And someone goes, fine, I'll do it. Oh, well, I'm busy on Tuesday and
My favorite is we're suppressed.
Yeah.
Because the mainstream media is not taking on our cause, we're suppressed. Well, guess what? Welcome to the club. You know, nobody's taking on Ask an Atheist and putting us on King 5. Well, maybe they will.
Actually, I have been on King 5.
Okay.
But not for the show, for the party I was having at Dorky's. I mean, it was just, you know, me in my nerdy shirt up against some arcade machines. It wasn't about Ask an Atheist. It's like, hey, nerds.
The point being is that suppression is when you can't assemble peaceably, when you can't have a website, when you can't exchange email, or when people are being jailed or beaten up. Mm-hmm. Nobody reports that in the 9/11 truth movement.
I do want to take a minute to say this might sound like gloating. I'm not gloating. I'm angry. If there really is something behind the truther claims of 9/11, I want to know about it. I want to have this out. I want to have this debate out in the open so that we can either get the evidence out there and end it, or question, actually have evidence to back up these claims. I'm not happy that they didn't come here. I'm angry at you guys.
Allow me to make a funny point, is that when science fails, and we see this with creationists, when their science fails, they try to convince the public. And that's why,
right.
That's why it's gone to the point of public debate, is because the science has failed.
Yeah.
And they're trying to change public opinion by using debates and things like that and posters. AE 911 Truth exists only for one point. That is to bring money to AE 911 Truth.
Let's talk about AE 911 Truth. What is AE 911 Truth?
Architects and Engineers for 911 Truth. It was founded by Richard Gage, I think, back in 2008. And basically, Richard Gage is an AIA licensed architect.
Okay.
And he's the guy who has who posits that the buildings fell free fall, therefore they're controlled demolition. And his leading theory is that it's controlled demolition, as opposed to James Feltzer, which is mini nukes,
yeah.
Or Judy Wood, who says it's energy weapons.
I love that. Yeah,
space,
yeah.
You know?
The Independence Day shuttle or saucer shows up and just only nukes the World Trade Center and then splits.
Yes.
I like the one. It's that's what I kind of get, though, and this is what we got from the scan days. You're like, oh, you didn't try hard enough to find these people. When we were on scan public access, you could throw a rock in any direction and hit a conspiracy theorist. Even the cooking and music shows were hosted by conspiracy theorists who, with the right prompting, could start screaming about how Bigfoot is fluoridating the water.
Yeah.
And the truth is that every single time they posture about how no one will debate them, when you invite them into the media they claim to be excluded from, they run away and they find every excuse not to do it. So here's the thing, too, is that when you watch their shows, none of them actually have this coherent, cohesive, theory about what actually happened. That every single one of them, either they're talking about hologram planes or energy weapons, or they're talking about internal demolition. Every single one of them has a completely different idea of what actually happened, but there's sort of this mutually assured destruction when it comes to crazy, because as soon as one person points a finger and laughs at one person's energy weapons or UFOs, another finger is going to be pointed at them until everyone has a finger pointed at them and everyone looks stupid.
And there's one person I really want to point out about this, and this is finally we were at the Hail Mary pass. We're just looking for somebody to debate us.
Anybody.
And so we were looking at the atheist community, and eventually what happened was, I spoke with Dick McManus, who's known in the atheism community as somebody who sort of invades events with 9/11 truther stuff, and it was just. I finally said, yeah, we'll have him on. So I email him, and he comes back to me and says, I don't do debates.
Here are some links.
Actually, that's his entire tactic. Here are some links.
Yeah.
The problem with this is that Dick McManus is running for office.
He doesn't do debates.
He's running for legislative office, a place where debate is going to be one of the most important tools in your toolbox. And he says, I don't do debates. I don't know, man. You just lost my vote, and I hope I'll make sure that you lose other people's votes, too, because you apparently won't do your job.
That's not the only truther who's run for office recently. Richard Curtis, who Case's work for, ran for Senate year before last. I actually used to be involved in the same political party as this dude, and I knew him as the truther guy. So when I found out he was running for office, my email got written right away with, okay, are you still doing this crazy stuff? And he said it right away. Yeah, okay, there you go. Thank you for giving me an excuse to never vote for you ever, because if you believe this kind of malarkey, I can't trust your judgment on anything.
Exactly. All right, we got a call, so let's quickly shift gears. This is Zach in Baltimore, and he wants to talk about memorials. How are you doing today?
Zach,
hey,
how are
you doing?
Very good.
I called in 2 weeks ago about Japan.
Oh, yeah. I thought you sounded familiar.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted to talk briefly about, maybe steer the conversation back towards religion for a bit, and talk about the idea of, like, Christian memorials. Like, I see a lot of times people, like, put up memorials for 9/11 in some way or form, and it seems to largely be like Christian centralized or some religion, but I'm thinking mostly Christian. I think we're in agreement here.
Mm-hmm.
And what are your thoughts on that? Because I particularly think that it's pretty hypocritical.
In what way?
Well, because the idea that, like, 9/11, you get down to the root of what caused it, and it was people that had steadfast, radical beliefs in their religion.
Yeah.
And so I feel like any religion sort of taking the docket for this like memorial is just kind of critical. It's something that should be kept out of religion.
Sort of a, you know these religious wackos did this to New York and Washington, D.C., so believe in our brand of religious wackery instead.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Okay. The Onion lampooned this perfectly recently.
Yeah.
They had this this news and brief article that said the following. 9/11 memorial creators decide not to display the swastika formed by twisted girders found at Ground Zero. I'll cut to the chase at the bottom of it, and it says, let's see. Upon hearing the news, neo-Nazi groups have complained about the exclusion, arguing that the giant swastika is a sign from heaven and that 9/11 affected all Americans, including those who believe in the inherent generic superiority of the Aryan race.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That was The Onion, right?
Yeah, yeah. Perfectly lampooned by The Onion.
Yeah, I'm not at all surprised by this. I've seen books written about this after 9/11 as well, where you have some preacher screaming about how Islam is a violent religion of hate, all the while talking about, yeah, but, you know, my brand of baseless assertions of magic, that's true. And I think a lot of people will do this. That's why a lot of times they don't seem to understand church and state. It's like, oh, yeah. Those guys are just crazy. I don't want to hear anything from a Hindu or a Buddhist or anything like that. But my stuff happens to be true, so, I get a different treat. And I think this really comes down to this discussion of privilege that we've had before.
Right. I was actually going to mention, it comes down to what you guys were talking about earlier about Christian privilege.
Yeah.
That there's this default status that these people sort of expect that somehow the cross is for everybody, even though it's a specific religious thing.
What is the symbolism, really, when you find a cross in wreckage? It really is, well, I've actually, what's God saying? I've actually failed to do anything but make a cross out of this whole thing.
Yeah, line.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's interesting because when 9/11 happened, I was at an age where I didn't really understand what was going on. And going through a disaster like the one that happened in Japan, it sort of hit me how scared I should have been that day.
Right.
And so it hits you like a brick. And it's like, people have managed to make the earthquake in Japan about religion. And yet, here is an event that is, specifically perpetrated by radicals of a religion. And we're seeing religions try to get in on it.
Yeah,
they have a spiritual hammer and they're looking for a nail. That's basically they're just looking for patterns. Zach, we're going to move on. Thanks for your call, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thank you, Zach.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't think it's at all surprising that in a building that is full of long pieces of metal, that at one point two of those pieces of metal would form a right angle.
Yeah,
that's
a line intersecting another line.
It's a
miracle.
Yeah.
But again. It's not at all surprising that people exploit tragedy as a way of selling Jesus to people.
This is Ask an Atheist. We're a little bit angry and bitter today, but feel free to give us a call, 253-584-1480.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Richard Gage. We actually touched on this a lot last year, and I just want to kind of recap a little bit. We covered it in detail. He, David Ray Griffin, Stephen Jones, are all proponents of the controlled demolition theory. And the theory, we put that in quotations because no one can really seem to say what that theory is exactly, as opposed to a poor attack on they attack the 9/11 Commission, NIST, FEMA, but they don't tell us any of the basics of the theory, like what kind of explosives, where they were placed, how many pounds of explosives were used.
Yeah.
Basic things like that. Basic science, they've still failed.
And they're talking about thermite residue, but isn't thermite made out of stuff that you'd find in a building anyway? I seem to remember this.
Right. Iron oxide, aluminum, a bit of barium, sulfur, and it's not even in the right quantities for what would be for thermite or super thermite.
And even the steel the building is made of is not going to be the only metal in the building. What about desks? What about chairs? What about filing cabinets? Yeah. What about servers?
Right. The signature that we're actually looking for is aluminum oxide, and we don't find that in any of the residue. They don't say a thing about aluminum oxide, and that would be a big deal.
Okay, we have another call. This is Jeremy from St. George, Utah, and he would like to talk about everybody's favorite film, Zeitgeist. How you doing today?
Jerry.
Hey, Jeremy. Hey,
Jeremy.
Guys. Jeremy, thank you. What do you got for us?
Well, a couple of years ago, let's see, back in 2007, I watched the Zeitgeist movie. And that was just on the heels of me personally kind of leaving my old religion behind me, which was Mormonism. So Zeitgeist actually helped me start to think outside the box, in a manner of speaking. And yet, based on the years since then, I've kind of come to understand that a lot of the stuff from the Zeitgeist film is not reliable. Is that what you guys have found?
I've never seen Zeitgeist, mainly because the people promoting Zeitgeist were, I had already put in my crazy file, but I seem to remember that it had like a future via the George Jetson involved or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, it was a three-act film. The first act was how Jesus was really a ripoff of the sun gods. The second act was about 9/11, and then the third act was about disabling the Fed or something about the Treasury Department, something like that. It was basically three acts.
Okay,
it's a conspiracy movie,
and basically one of the people who put a lot of money behind it, he's trying to push this vision called the Venus Project.
Okay,
which is this utopian world where if you go to the Venus Project website, it is this utopian Jetsons type furniture, and their basic thing is we're not going to use any currency; that it'll be a world of trust. And,
if they can pull it off, more power to them. But yeah. That doesn't mean I'm going to believe everything they say.
It's essentially socialism with robots, that we don't have to do a lot of the hard work that we used to do because it'd be these automated super machines doing it for us. And the obvious question to me is where's this robot? Where's the technology that's building this stuff that we can actually sit back and just drink a Mai Tai because ButlerBot is doing it for me.
But so you watched the Zeitgeist movie and you were a big fan of it, but as you moved on and you learned more things, you've kept part of Zeitgeist, which is sort of getting away from religion, but you've dropped some of the conspiracy theory then. Is that true, Jeremy?
That's correct, yeah.
Okay. Honestly, good job.
Yeah, seriously, yeah. You made it through. Good for you.
Yeah, and good for Zeitgeist, because apparently it made somebody start thinking and actually help them become a critical thinker. And I guess I kind of have to give props to
them.
Well, I guess my beef with Zeitgeist, too, is that and this is with a lot of conspiracy theorists, theories just general, is that what you do is you start with this little kernel of truth that people don't generally know, and then you build a lot of BS around that kernel, and you just build it up and build it up, and you throw some assertions in. Like, a lot of the stuff they say about the historicity of Jesus, that much is true, that there is no contemporary evidence that Jesus existed.
Yeah.
But then they start treating it like it's an intentional conspiracy theory, that this was an intentional fraud that somebody created to... It sounds kind of the way that Scientology talks about modern religions and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, there's an intentional, intended scam, rather than something that grew organically.
Zeitgeist, to me, is one of those films where it's the Clockwork Orange thing, where the guy's eyes are forced open and he has to watch it. It's one of those mind control programming kind of things. It's just a lot of scary music, a lot of really weird visual effects.
Is that what you've come to understand, Jeremy?
You know, when I watched it, I recognized a lot of the flashing lights and the soundtrack that they have on there. And yes, I have seen Clockwork Orange. I did recognize that as kind of a manipulative agent.
Absolutely.
And I let myself watch it with that understanding anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, forewarned is forearmed.
Was there.
Yeah.
Sorry?
Forewarned is forearmed in that case. If you know they're doing it, you can sort of counter it. So thank you for your call, Jeremy. I look forward to talking to you again. This is a very good question, so thanks.
Thanks for calling in, Jeremy.
Thanks, guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
And you shouldn't feel too bad if you buy into this stuff, because, I dabbled myself in trutherism for probably about a month.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how skepticism works. You ask questions, then you look for evidence, and if it stands the test of evidence, and, there you go.
Don't be afraid to be wrong, either.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. We'll be back in a couple.
Did you know that not a single psychic or paranormal event has ever been reproduced?
Have you ever wondered about the effectiveness of faith healing, Reiki, or sports bracelets?
Was 9/11 an inside job, or is that all just another unproven conspiracy theory?
Come check out the Seattle Skeptics, a group focused on lively debates and a critical examination of pseudoscience, alternative medicine, and anything else that hasn't held up to the light of the scientific method.
Seattle Skeptics was created for those who require a higher bar of evidence than gut feelings or blind belief.
We're not contrarians or cynics, we just want to see the evidence.
And so should you.
Check us out at seattleskeptics.org.
That's seattleskeptics.org.
The end of the world is nigh. Millions will disappear in the rapture, and those left behind will feel the wrath of God.
Better to help those people feeling the wrath than an atheist. We don't believe in God, so we're pretty sure we won't get raptured out of here.
You can help by donating to Rapture Relief.
We'll use the money to help those afflicted during Armageddon.
And if for some reason this all turns out to be just another failed prophecy, your money won't be wasted.
We'll give it to Camp Quest, which teaches children critical thinking and science so they won't be duped by religious fables in the first place.
Learn more at rapture-relief.org.
A satirical benefit for Camp Quest, brought to you by Seattle Atheists.
You can advertise on Ask an Atheist on the radio, on our website, and in our podcast. People just like you who have the same interests are listening right now, just like you are, and thousands will download this podcast and listen to it later. If you have a product, service, or idea to sell, people here in the Pacific Northwest and people around the world, thousands will hear your message. Let us help you sell your product, service, or idea. Contact us at advertising@askanatheist.tv. That's advertising@askanatheist.tv.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480, and we are talking about the failure of the 9/11 truther movement today. I want to start by saying that I have my own skepticism about some of the official narrative about 9/11. I wouldn't call myself a truther. I don't believe it was an inside job, but I could be convinced about some shenanigan going on. You know, I am a skeptic and I question evidence. That's what I do. But I don't think evidence to suggest anything else has been given. That said, I don't pay too close attention to the truther movement because, you know, they do stuff like this. So I know you follow it very closely. So could you give us a synopsis of, I mean, the state of the truther movement today?
Well, they peaked in about 2006. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I do is I like to check out the local meetups just to see how many people actually showing up for events. And as far as I know, for the 10th anniversary, which is today, about 4 people RSVP'd yes out of 414.
Oh, wow.
Which tells me that people, the interest just isn't there anymore.
Right.
And these are people who actively, like Christians, they would go to the street corners, give out DVDs, give out brochures and pamphlets, anything to sell the idea of 9/11 truth. And it's just, it's not going anywhere.
It's not the new hotness anymore.
It's not sticking anywhere.
So what happened?
I think when Obama got elected, it took the wind out of their sails. I really do. I think that
the other thing is the Kennedy assassinations conspiracies. There's usually, I mean, it comes and goes in waves. But right after the assassination, because of all, there was this huge wave of conspiracy theory itis. I don't know what you call it, and then it sort of faded out after a while. And it does look like 9/11 is taking something of the same path.
I'm ready to turn a page myself.
Yeah.
You know what the 9/11 truth movement kind of reminds me of? Chuck Wepner. And if you don't know who Chuck Wepner is, he's kind of a little-known boxer that fought Muhammad Ali once for a really long time. Actually, the movie Rocky was based on that, where a little-known guy fights the champ. And if you look at the last round of that fight, where this guy, no matter how many times Ali is just punching him in the face over and over, to the point you're like, why is Muhammad Ali fighting a zombie? No matter what you hit it at, it seems kind of like that's where we're at with the truther movement, is that we've punched it with fact after fact after fact, and it just won't go down.
But we're not punching it. It's the existence of these facts, basically, Voltron assemble into Muhammad Ali. Is there nobody out there really going, except for Case, who wants to debate these guys, and a couple folks like them? There's no like conspiracy to bring down the truther movement. They sort of inculcated themselves and become the cyst, thinking, oh, we're going to protect ourselves from outside forces when there's no outside force to speak of.
It's weird because there's this real unwillingness to actually talk to somebody outside of the group.
So that's true. That's true. But I do want to get to what they suggest their evidence is. So what can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Well, Susan, who was supposed to debate today, gave us a list of things, some issues that she wanted us to talk about and bring up.
Okay.
So I called the list out for things that we can actually cut through pretty quickly. So
okay.
Here we go. One thing she mentioned was Building 7 was not mentioned in the commission report.
And, okay.
You know, obviously, she's not here, so I can't ask her, what does that suggest to you? But my quick answer is, well, it's mentioned in the NIST report.
Right.
So why is that suspicious of anything?
Right. The commission report was about the causes of 9/11.
Right.
The NIST report was about the structural things and stuff like that, because some new building codes might be suggested. People want to know what failed.
Right.
And since Building 7 apparently was not directly attacked, or, you know, it fell down as a result of what happened to the main buildings, of course they would cover it in the NIST report.
So this is an argument I hear a lot, Building 7, every single time. Like, if you go to our old videos that we did when we talked about 9/11 before Case, what are they talking about?
Well, with regards to Building 7, I understand that, this used to be a much wider conspiracy, including the Pentagon, including Flight 93. Now we're kind of down to World Trade Center 7. And so what they're saying is that because it fell in its own footprint, that this is evidence of controlled demolition. The things that they use in support of that are, they say it did free fall for about 8 seconds, that it fell on its own footprint. that somebody said pull it, and things of that nature. So NIST, in a nutshell, said that one of the trusses that keeps the building up, it had a very different build than most other buildings because it was above a Con Edison's substation. One of the trusses fell. It collapsed because of the fire. There were uncontrolled fires in it for 5 hours.
Right.
And because it collapsed, it started this cascade failure, and the whole building came down. If this were a mystery, then the Journal of Structural Engineering, they'd be all over it. Purdue would be all over it. There'd be a lot of building magazines over it. There'd be a lot of universities who are taking it on. But no one is doing it. There are actually a lot of white papers in support of how the building fell.
Yeah. And yeah. One of the things that she suggested, I mean, we've got sort of two lists, is the stuff we want to talk about and the stuff that just didn't make a lot of sense, is that she also said that Donald Rumsfeld didn't know about Building 7 or didn't know anything about Building 7. Well, a lot of people consider Donald Rumsfeld to be kind of incompetent, and this could just be evidence of incompetence rather than evidence of a conspiracy.
Sometimes when I debate truthers on the street, I'll say, "Well, tell me about Building Number 6," and they don't know. And I said, "Why is architects and engineers hiding Building 6 from you? What is it that about Building 6 they don't want you to know?"
Right.
You just take that mindset and spin it on its head, and you understand that that kind of doesn't make sense. Just because somebody doesn't know something about it doesn't mean that it's signs of something nefarious.
It seems a bit unrealistic to expect the Secretary of Defense to know everything about every building in every major city.
Right.
I didn't know. I mean, I was aware that the World Trade Center existed before 9/11, but I thought it was just two buildings.
And no, it was a bunch of buildings. There's a lot of, I mean, you have buildings of that size and of that design fall down. Even if they fall straight down, if the debris is not controlled, there's going to be major structural damage to other structures. I was friends with a structural engineer that I talked to every day because of a project, a startup I was involved with when 9/11 happened, and he was saying this stuff before any of the buildings came down. This was not a surprise to a lot of engineers, the way this went down. So what's another thing that's going through the movement?
Okay, so another one from this list is Les Robertson, original architect of the World Trade Center buildings, was interviewed as saying that the buildings were designed to withstand the impact of fully loaded 707s.
Right.
This is correct.
Right.
What he also says, and this is never played as part of any 9/11 truth videos, he also says we did not account for the jet fuel. And so, therefore, he says that, the buildings didn't fall when the planes hit. So that's one thing. So they did withstand the impact, literally. They actually did withstand it. But the jet fuel in combination with the impact is what brought down the buildings.
It was the impact basically stripped off the insulation of the supporting beams. And then the jet fuel and the combined and the enclosed area in which those beams existed caused the not to melt, but to deform.
That's correct.
And the weight did the rest.
That's correct.
And you know how when I learned that?
When?
September 12th.
Okay.
Because that's what that was the suggestion from engineers, is that this is likely how it happened.
And this is just a great example of quote mining. And if you're not familiar with what quote mining is that you take a statement out of context and specifically let the but and then more words just kind of fall out. I've seen people, creationists, do this with Darwin describing, how complex the eye is. But then he goes, it seems like it could never have happened, by natural times, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And in this case, we designed it to be able to take this, but I didn't take into account. That sort of thing. And it just seems like that's the sort of thing that just points to just people lying.
One line that I hear a lot from truthers is, well, why doesn't a stove melt then? If common fires can melt steel, they like to say, why doesn't a stove melt or why doesn't a lantern melt? My answer to that is these are not load-bearing lanterns.
Right.
And they're not load-bearing stoves.
And again, they're focused on melting. A collapse of the structure does not require melting.
There's a straw man, yeah.
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 I mean, you an I-beam that's bent 8 or 9 degrees out of shape is going to have a fraction of the supporting quality that an I-beam in good condition is going to have. Any structural engineer will tell you that.
Let's talk a little bit about Jesse Ventura. She mentioned this in her list. And she said that Jesse attempted an independent investigation on his show.
Is that what it was called?
He attempted it. She does say that in the email. He attempted an independent investigation. This is actually a really telling one, because one of the things that happened was Jesse Ventura had contacted a gentleman by the name of Van Romero, who in the early days of 9/11 Truth said that it looked like a controlled demolition. So I think that they felt they could trust him. And they asked him to test the effects of thermite on a metal column. And what happened was that they found that the thermite didn't actually affect the column whatsoever, but it was edited cleverly to indicate the opposite. In fact, I wrote Van Romero, and we touched on this in the last show about a year ago. I wrote Van Romero and asked him, did you feel like the results were an accurate portrayal of your tests? And he said, absolutely not. They edited everything very cleverly.
They basically just put an I-beam over a campfire. I mean, you know, there's no building, there's no enclosed spaces to, you know, to add insulation to the generation of heat. It was completely ridiculous. We did a Seattle Skeptics, and I was involved in a lot of this one as sort of the crow T-Robot in the background just cracking wise. We did a very clear takedown of that show. You did the one on the 9/11 one. We also did the one on HARP. That show is just a mess.
Yes, yeah.
And this is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480 if you'd like to talk to us. However, after the show, we will be meeting up at Doyle's in Tacoma. We've been there several times before. And if you do want to talk to us about the 9/11 truth movement there, you're invited to, but do remember, this is when we relax. So, you know, take it easy.
We'll talk, but we won't get into screaming matches in public.
Exactly, exactly. So what's another aspect of the state of the 9/11 truther movement?
Many scientists, according to one of the facts we had to consider, many scientists reported finding nanothermite in the dust. NIST said there were no explosives found, but then they also admitted they didn't look, was from the email. So the nanothermite thing is, we talked about this, the active thermitic material found by Stephen E. Jones, and that was published in Bentham Open Journal. It doesn't carry the signature of thermite. The signature is aluminum oxide, and that was not found to be present.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and again, this is thermite, which is made from common materials and materials that would easily be found on site in the at 9/11.
Yeah. A great example is the amount of sulfur they found in this test. The amount of sulfur that they found was way out of proportion with what you would find in a thermite reaction.
Right.
So why do they add that as part of the smoking gun for evidence? It's cherry picking the data.
It seems like you'd find more than thermite in a building this large. The amount of explosive devices you'd need to plant in this thing would be pretty big. I mean, at least triple digits in terms of this stuff. You'd have to put this stuff all over multiple floors, and that's their claim. So why haven't we found this? Are we to really believe that every single charge went off and disintegrated when this went off? We didn't find anything?
Right. And then I've heard there was thermite in the paint.
The sol gel form,
yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah. In fact, Jesse Ventura goes on to suggest that this could be in any building anywhere.
Yeah. Way to go, Jesse. Yeah. Make us afraid of any freestanding
structure. A bit of fear-mongering there.
Good job.
Okay, we have a call.
Yes.
We're going to take this very quickly.
Let's do it.
John in New York, and he wants to talk to us about Building 7. So what do you got for us?
John.
Yes, hi.
Hi, what do you got for us?
I was just curious on what your thoughts were on Building 7. I understand you're saying about the steel melting from the fire, but Building 7, you know, from the jet fuel, but Building 7 wasn't hit by a plane. So, you know, how do you explain that the fire that brought down Building 7 so evenly like that?
Okay, so Building 7, here we go. What happened was Building 7 was hit by debris from one of the towers. It took out a big scoop of the building, and that started fires in the building. There were no sprinklers to shut the fires down because the water main was destroyed. So the fires burned uncontrollably. The building had a rather unique design where it was over the Con Edison substation. So instead of a typical structure like you'd see, there were three huge trusses that kept the building up. At some point, one of the trusses failed, and this caused a cascade failure, which caused the entire building to come down. Where this is a point of contention for truthers is they say it fell down at free fall speed. Well, that's not exactly true. It fell for free fall speed for about 8 seconds, but when you look at the videos, they actually very cleverly cut out the time for when the penthouse of the building, at the top of the building, starts to collapse. So they use a bit, it's almost like a card trick. They take out all the data that doesn't support their theory, ignore it, and take this 8 second bit of free fall collapse. 8 seconds of free fall is not to be unexpected. AE 9/11 Truth has a challenge, and the challenge for them is to prove that buildings can fall that's not at free fall speed.
How does it fall so evenly? I understand the free fall speed thing.
Yeah.
But for it to fall so evenly like that, it seems, to me, it really seems impossible that all three beams would weaken at pretty much exactly the same time.
They don't have to. That's his point.
Yeah.
They don't have to. As one of them fails, all three beams were required for the structure to stand well. And if one of those beams fails, and not from melting, but even from just deformation, the whole thing is going to collapse.
The whole thing would come down evenly.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
All the way right to the ground.
Yeah.
It's very hard to believe. I mean, it really is.
Buildings are mostly empty space.
I understand. Here's one of the larger challenges is if you have two groups of experts, one group of experts says it has to fall this way, or something has to occur this way. Another group of experts disputes that. Which group of experts, as a layperson, which group of experts do you go to tell you who's the truth? I mean, we actually see this with creationism, right?
I mean, what about just the common sense, you know, person who's not an engineer and not really just looking
common
at
sense,
it?
I mean, if you're not an engineer, then you're not qualified to make
and,
a comment.
And again, John, I'm not an engineer either. Right? I couldn't tell you.
Engineer?
Hey, John. John, I'm not an engineer either. I know crap about science. I don't know how you can get a 747 off the ground, but it does.
No, and I understand that.
I'm just saying, common sense and layperson, like, it doesn't
John,
feel right.
If you wanted to have this conversation, calling in the last 5 minutes.
We should call it earlier. I'd
love to have
talk
this conversation
you,
at the halfway point, but we're coming up on the end of the show, so we're going to have to wrap up.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. I do appreciate your time.
Thanks for calling, John.
Nope.
Oh. Oops. last 5 minutes of the show. This is not this. I don't want to say that this is somebody who has an idea that he's going to get his stinger in right at the end and not let us refute it.
I'll cut him some slack on that.
I'll cut John some slack.
Absolutely.
But
yeah.
This is something that I've seen a lot on the show. You know, on the show and with everything else is that you know we try to give them an open forum and it failed, and as a result you got this show. So any closing remarks?
Yeah, I'm not convinced by that, and I don't think you should use negative evidence. Just because you can't understand something doesn't mean a lot of other people can.
My closing remark is that architects and engineers owe you more than that. They should be giving you real science.
Alright, that's all the time we have. My name is Sam Mulvey. With me today was Case and Mike Gillis. As usual, our music was Chris Coleman, our production assistant was Rebecca Friedman, and our call screener was Jerry Schiffelbein. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. We will be you can give us a call at 206-420-0997, or you can meet us at Doyle's in about an hour. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Keeping you informed, this is KLAY.